You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of CROI 2008, the 15th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections. The conference took place in Boston, Massachusetts from February 3rd through February 6th, 2008.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, Editorial Director of the Body Pro. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who have actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions. Accompanying me on this interview is Dr. Gerald Perrone, a clinician and researcher who is the director of the AIDS Research and Treatment Center of the Treasure Coast in Fort Pierce, Florida.
I'm Sandy McCoy, and I'm with the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and we work with the Department of Health and Human Services for the state of North Carolina as well on screening for acute HIV infection. So acute HIV is a public health opportunity to interrupt transmission during a time when people have very heightened infectiousness. And so what we do is we test for acute HIV for all people who seek testing at all publicly funded clinics in the state. We've done the program for 5 years, and during that time we've identified 89 people with acute HIV infection, and this represents 3.3% of all of our total positives in the state. So then we do partner counseling and referral services for people with acute HIV infection. So we have a group of people called the disease investigation specialists, and they go out and find people with acute HIV infection within 72 hours of the initial report, and they find all of their partners within the last 8 weeks.
And how do they do this?
They interview the acute patient, and at the same time that they're doing confirmatory testing, they'll interview the acute patient, and if they agree, the acute patient will tell them the partners that they've had in the last 8 weeks.
Meaning names and addresses and phone numbers.
Whatever they have.
Okay.
Yes. So overall, about 40% of the partners that they report are anonymous partners, meaning that we can't further try to find those partners. But of the remaining partners, the disease investigation specialists will go and attempt to locate those partners and offer them testing. So on the poster here, we have a breakdown of who our 89 patients were with acute HIV infection. You can see that about half of them were men who have sex with men. A little over than half were a black race. And about half are under 25 years. So it's a young population, and actually every year we've noticed it's been getting progressively younger. 92% of those with acute HIV were found and accepted partner counseling and referral services. So that's very, very high. So our program is doing quite well. And in the past 8 weeks, our acute HIV patients report a mean of 3 partners. 2 partners who are named and can be attempted to be located, and 1 partner who is anonymous on average. This graph here shows the breakdown of the partners who were named, who the DIS can attempt to locate. So there were 148 partners who were named, and of those, 80% were found by the disease investigation specialists. So of this group, 31% were already positive. They knew they were infected at that time. Half of them were of unknown status and were tested by the DIS officers. And this part shows the breakdown of what happened with the tests. So we identified an additional 11 infections, which is 16% of those who were tested. We identified 3 new acute HIV cases and 8 new cases of established infection that were unknown to the partner. The majority of people were negative. So this compares to data on PCRS for people with established infection. We have in North Carolina about 20% of the partners with people with established infection are positive. So here we have 16%, so it's somewhat comparable. We also looked at a phylogenetic analysis of 3 partnerships. We looked at 3 acute HIV cases and their partner with established infection. And based on a sequence analysis, we found that they were very closely connected genetically. They had 97% sequence identity, showing that there was a transmission pair likely here. And of these positive partners, 2 of them were brand new identified partners in this group. The last thing we looked at was transmitted drug resistance. We found 13 people with any transmitted drug resistance, and these are among our acute population, and 65% of them actually had a partner with established infection. So we expected to see a lot more acute to acute transmission in our population, but it looks like a lot of our transmissions are from people with established infection to our acutes.
Do they know that their partner is positive?
Some of them do.
Oh, okay.
Some of them do. Some don't. Yeah.
What percentage?
I don't actually know that offhand. Okay. A lot of them do, actually. You know.
Oh, they know.
A lot of them do. I mean, certainly some don't, but a lot of them do. So that's our results. So some of our conclusions are that in the acute HIV setting, PCRS works well. 92% of people were located and utilized PCRS services. We also were surprised to find that, you know, half of people reported a partner with known infection. 41% were anonymous partners, which, you know, makes us think about new strategies to identify and find anonymous partners, maybe using the internet or email, things that we don't routinely use for partner notification. Using our phylogenetic analysis, we'd like to continue doing this because this does tell us a little bit about transmission in our state. You know, if you have strict procedures to, you know, keep things confidential, it can tell you some interesting things about transmission from acutes to other acutes or from chronics to other acutes. So,
but you were surprised that it wasn't acute to acute.
We were surprised. We thought we would find more acutes because you're so infectious when you have acute HIV that we would thought you would find a lot more partners that were also acute who had just been transmitted to. So we were a little bit surprised that we didn't find more.
Were the partners, did you get their viral loads by any chance?
Well, of these people, we actually would because they're part of our acute HIV program.
Uh-huh. So if they were still highly infectious, they might have uncontrolled viral.
Right. And in these cases, we don't know which way the transmission went. It could have gone from this partner this way or this way this way. So we don't know that. But that's part of what the phylogenetic analysis might be able to help us with.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Also, we were surprised to see the number of people with transmitted drug resistance who had partners that were established infections. And our next step will be to look at how many of them were in care and how many of them were on medications to learn more about transmission dynamics in North Carolina.
And the majority of the transmitted drug resistance was in an RTI.
Yes.
Common.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Jerry Perrone from the AIDS Research and Treatment Center of the Treasure Coast. Can you talk a little bit more about the algorithm you use to identify newly infected patients?
Sure. So in North Carolina, all people who present for testing at publicly funded clinics in the state are tested for HIV with a standard antibody test. And if the antibody test is negative, then they're automatically included in a pooling algorithm to test for HIV RNA. Also, people who are antibody positive and have a Western blot indeterminate test are tested for RNA automatically. So that's how we detect our acutes in North Carolina.
When you look at the description of your acute HIV cases, the gender and risk behavior, it's about 50% men who have sex with men. When you actually looked at the actual transmission of disease, were there differences between men that have sex with men versus heterosexual or female in your outcomes?
That is a good question, actually, and that's something we haven't looked at. If these folks were MSM? That's a good question. We haven't looked at that. Yeah.
It also seems that when you look at some studies like this, the dynamics, for example, if you did this study in an urban gay population where there was a lot of methamphetamine use, you might see mean sexual partners much higher than you're seeing in North Carolina.
Sure.
And perhaps that might account for why that acute infection rate is a little bit lower than perhaps other cohorts would report.
Yeah, so North Carolina, like the rest of the South, has a unique epidemic. We have a lot of heterosexual involvement, a lot of transmission to women, and we don't have much injection drug use in our population. So certainly, you know, this would be unique to our population. You would see something very different probably in San Francisco or New York.
So I see you. It was 89 acute HIV cases from 2002 to 2007.
Yes.
Is that considered a lot or a little? I mean,
well, since we're doing this on a statewide basis,
right,
actually, we have a lot compared to other studies because we've been doing it for so long.
But it's still not that many.
It's still 3% of our total positive. So yes, it is not that many. We detect one acute person for about every 7,000 tests we perform in the state. So we perform about about 150,000 tests annually through our publicly funded testing system, and we find about 20 acutes in that time.
Are other states or other regions taking your lead in using this algorithm to identify acute infections?
Sure. So I don't believe that there's any other states doing on a statewide level, but there's certainly Los Angeles, Seattle, San Francisco, New York, areas are doing different combinations of this, and some of them are targeting to specific populations. For example, King County in Seattle does acute HIV testing for their men who have sex with men. I know I just talked to someone from New York who said that New York City is doing acute HIV testing in their STD clinics, because we identify about half of our acute cases from STD clinics, so that's a population you could certainly restrict your testing to. So the idea has caught on. Not everyone does pooling necessarily, but some people do pooling. It is something that people are moving toward.
So, and this program is separate and distinct from the emergency room testing programs that we've been hearing about lately.
Yes. North Carolina is starting to do an emergency room testing program, but it hasn't got off the ground quite yet. But we are moving in that direction.
Oh, that's surprising that you're way advanced in this way.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. And actually, one way that we are looking at our data is a way that we could perhaps target it to counties that have high prevalence or to specific clinics, so that we wouldn't have to do the program on a statewide level, because there are some counties and clinics that we've never found a case of acute HIV, so it might not be necessary to continue doing it there. So.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on CROI 2008 from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/CROI2008.